The Red Dirt D&D podcast is brought to you by Pro Laser Cuts. The Oklahoma company provides pre-made and customizable design laser cut dice towers, tokens, and more, developed by a gamer for gamers, and now available to enhance your tabletop game. Pro Laser Cuts products can be found at many Oklahoma City area game stores, local events, and now available online at ProLaserCuts.com. That's laser and cuts with a Z, Pro Laser Cuts.
Greetings unto you, weary traveler. Come and sit down next to Yazgash's fire. Let me get you something to eat. And while you are here, I will tell you the tales of my friends Poppy, Gideon, Makrin, and Zonimus. Their travels throughout the Kalban frontier are legendary, and I hope you enjoy them. You know, a strange person came through not long ago. They said that they were recording these tales for a podcast, and that it is helpful for people to subscribe, rate, and leave comments on such things. I'm not sure what all that is about, but if you were to do that, it would be very helpful for Red Dirt D&D. Now, settle in and listen as I tell you tales from the Kalban frontier.
Welcome to Red Dirt D&D. I'm Michael Cross, and I play Gideon Block, a paladin of Daga, bringing her justice to the wilds of Rutoya.
I'm Connor Chenol, and I play Connor with a K, the kobold sorcerer who's finally out of the bag.
I'm Johnny Payne, and I play Zonimus Dinar, a roguish warlock controlling his fate with chaos.
I'm Kiri Hester, and I play Poppy Tealeaf, a highborn halfling druid who has forsaken her family for the call of the frontier.
I'm Brooke Bullock, and I play Makrin Stoneshaper, a young dwarf sorcerer wielding his arcane gifts to delve into the mysteries of the wilderness.
And I'm Ash King, your dungeon master. Join us now for Tales from the Kalban Frontier.
The night passes, with Connor having had a very strange dream. Fortunately, nothing else seems to disturb the rest of the party. The sun rises in the morning, painting the frontier with its glory. What are you all doing as you get ready for the day?
Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Was there something you wanted to show me?
No.
They said we're going to wait for the morning. Show me something.
No, I wanted to show you something last night. I showed you my fire element or something.
Okay, Poppy, that was really impressive.
Thank you.
I'm just really proud of the work that you're doing and your work with She Who Weeps.
Well, thank you.
That's all I got to say about that.
So, Connor waking up from this dream, does he get a sense that it was, like, a little bit more than a dream?
Just this was a magically influenced dream.
You wake up in a bad mood.
Yeah, so he's kind of a little bit more quieter than normal, kind of puttering about the campsite, gathering up what little he has strewn about, and just kind of pondering.
So are you thinking about how to phrase it? I noticed you're in thought.
Phrase what?
Well, like the beacon.
Oh.
You have to like ask it for certain things. I mean, like you just said, find the Great Mother River, right?
Yeah, that seemed pretty straightforward, but there's, like, other things that it can do that I'm trying to, like, also figure out.
There you go. We just gotta stand there looking at each other.
Awkwardly.
Well, I'ma go set up and
get ready
to go.
Okay, yeah, I gotta get Buttercup all harnessed.
Yeah.
We're packing up camp.
Sharpening, cleaning, whipping.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yeah, you guys get packed up, get the horses all harnessed up.
Since we know the general direction, should we just kind of go on natural instinct, or should we set that thing ablaze again?
So here's my thought. You think that maybe when we get there, we'll find smokes there.
Why don't we just
have it find smokes?
That's what I was thinking too.
That's the bigger deal.
But yeah. Then like Gideon said last night, if we go to Russian Water first, check in, restock, then we could say, find Wiley.
Well, I don't know, Connor, if we said, can you lead us to Wiley Smokes Moran, do you think this thing would just take us right to him?
I mean, theoretically, we can try it out and see where it goes.
Zonimus, do you want to just go straight to him?
Why go to the fort first?
You're right. That's why
we're safety,
decided.
For security?
We don't need safety and security. I got this group here.
You got me.
Yeah. I'm feeling safe and secure.
You saw that fire elemental. I made him.
And
we killed that woman 3 times.
Listen, 3rd time is done.
Hey, and 2 fire elementals, technically.
I got my water bottle. I'm ready to take on the new fire elementals.
We're here to do a thing. That book was going to be given to us to help us do that thing. There's so many reasons to find Wiley. So many reasons.
And now, when he tries to do the way he snuffed out my acid the first time, I think I've got that figured out now. I say we meet him again.
I think you're right, and I gotta say, he doesn't know what we've been doing, and he doesn't know that we're more powerful than we were when we first met him.
I mean, he also could be exponentially more powerful if he's hooked up with the Empire.
Well, some of us are hooked up higher than an Empire.
I believe 3 of us are some kind of deity. Connected, yes.
All right. Random coyote howling in the background.
It sounds like we've got a consensus to go get Wiley. Take him in. That's what our job was in the first place. Take him in or take him down.
So I pull out this crystal, okay. And I'm looking it over, and I'm like, so his name is Wiley, what?
Wiley Smokes Moran.
Okay, so instead of Wiley, I'm going to focus hard either on the person that came in my dreams.
Okay.
Or the sound of horses and wings.
Okay.
And go there instead.
Okay. So as you're holding the crystal and you're focusing on this and asking it to take you to this place, it's as if a projection comes up from the crystal and you see a map of the frontier.
Malcolm, write this down.
Hold still.
It's doing the homework for us.
And you see it's kind of got like an over, like
we're
an
gonna get 10,000 gold pieces right away, guys, hang on.
And there's like you see the Great Mother River off to the side, and then a little ping to represent where you guys are, and then it comes down a little bit. And it comes down a little bit and shows you a spot.
There, I think.
All right.
Is there a magical beam of light showing us the way there?
You can corroborate it with your map.
Right, right.
To like show you.
Between Fort Russian Water, last stop, the pillars, or the skyship, is it in that triangle?
It's
somewhere?
It's kind of triangulated. Actually, it seems you guys are actually headed in that direction, just a little farther to the north of your current position.
Get here and look right here. Like, I'm point at the map, and then I point at, you know, the little projection, and be like, I think we're heading in the right place anyway.
All right. Connor?
Yeah.
You lead on.
Sure. I don't know how horses work, so Macron, lead on.
Yeah, right here beside me is a navigator spot, so.
That's where the navigator goes.
But go, get here.
All right, yeah, you flick the reins, and the horse sets off, and you all set off for the day.
Could we tell from the map about how far we're having to go?
About a day's travel to the north. So.
You think this is really it, Gideon? Think we're going to find him?
I think we're going to find something.
One last time.
And here's the question. I know you want to take him down, and I do too, but he will definitely have answers, more than that woman did.
Yeah, he will definitely be more dangerous than that woman was, and you saw what she almost did to all of us.
I know.
He's not going to give us answers. His pride will be in the way of that. He'll boast on the fact that we even have questions. Questions that he knows the answer to. He'll take those to his grave.
Zonimus, I can't kill him in cold blood.
You can kill him in self-defense.
I can kill him in self-defense.
You can kill him in combat.
Yeah. Just realize, I won't stop you.
You do what you have to do. I know you'll fight with honor, and I'm going to do what I have to do.
I know. You have my full support.
And you have mine, so long as you don't get in my way.
That will not happen, I promise.
From a considerable way down towards the ground. You have to realize, horse, man on top of horse.
Yeah.
Wolf.
Halfling on top of wolf.
I love the idea that you are actually in between us as we are talking back and forth.
I just pat you on the ankle.
To get their attention.
Zonimus, you have to believe me when I say that I know that he has hurt you, but he will not hurt you again. And her little eyes flicker with fire. I am not letting anyone that I care about get hurted anymore. That's what I'm saying. I'm not good at these speeches when I don't have time to write them down beforehand.
Well, funny enough, Poppy.
No!
As you say, you know, I'm never going to allow anyone to hurt my friends ever again. Two arrows. One arrow actually lands right in between Mokrin and Connor.
Like sticks in the...
Like in the wood.
Right in the wood between them on the cart.
Steam and whistles! And I pull back on the reins hard.
Then the other second one does land like right in front of Thunderstep in an attempt to get Thunderstep to rear up.
There you go. I pull back and Thunderstep.
Yeah, give me an athletics check.
I roll a 7.
Oh no.
Oh no.
So yeah, just the suddenness of the action, you just let go and
oh my goodness.
Back on your back in the sand.
Oh. What?
Wildfire licks your cheek.
Thank you, Wildfire.
And as you're looking up into the sky, trying to figure out what the heck is going on here, you hear Winnie and the flap of wings.
What?
As a Pegasus and a rider come into view.
Like right over my head?
I can see it. Like you're on your back and just like banks around.
Just the silhouette of
it. Oh yeah, the silhouette in the sun.
I shake my head. I said, I think I might have hit my head a little too hard. Is everyone else seeing that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think they could have hit us from up there, too. I don't think they were trying to hit us.
No, that was a warning shot.
Let's just hold for a minute.
And then, coming down low enough to actually speak, you see a rider, long hair, white as snow, skin the color of ink diluted in water, tattoos on the face. Symbols of power. This figure looks at you. Turn back! Interlopers are not wanted here. Very familiar voice, Zonimus.
My name's Gideon Clinkies. Block. these are my friends. Zonimus, Connor, Poppy, and Macron.
A wave.
We don't mean to harm you. We are just traveling to the Great Mother River.
Find a different path.
I'm gonna jump off my horse. Is he still mounted?
Yes.
Can I see his bow?
Yes.
Does it look...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hold my hand up for Gideon. I never got the name that I was, did I?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But you did give him your name.
Yes, you did.
Which Gideon just said out loud.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it doesn't register.
It was.
Sometimes you got to hit it twice.
Are we not still friends, Iopix?
The figure's eyebrows knit together very quickly before looking at you.
I haven't seen one of these, and I reach out for the Pegasus since I jumped off that ship with you so long ago.
And it is that exact same Pegasus.
And then I reach a hand out to him. Do you see me now, friend?
He slides off the back of the Pegasus, coming close to you, takes your chin, tilts you one way, then the other. I know you.
I'll give him a smirk.
Oh, nice.
It would be the same smirk no matter what skin was wearing.
Yes.
Impossible.
Very impossible. And here we are.
The coyote. Sent you in my hour of need. Mm. And he sends you again! And he has to, like, step away from you.
Okay.
And just run his hands through his hair.
I'm going to look back to the group and kind of give a hand, you know, at ease, soldiers. Some of the coyote always puts us in front of each other in both our moments of need.
Mokrin whispers to Connor, oh my gosh, like, that Iopix character thinks that Zonimus was helping him.
Yeah, well, as long as he doesn't shoot at us again, I guess it...
Poppy and Wildfire just waggle their eyebrows at you.
Mokrin pulls the arrow out from in between the two of us and gives it a quick look. Is it kind of standard, or is there anything special about it? Is it?
It's elven make. It does seem to, like, radiate some magical power. It's obvious, you know, Iopix uses a bow of great power, that he actually just seeing that he may have a friend, waves his hand, and the bow itself just gone.
That's a neat trick.
I need to learn that.
I tie off the reins on the side of the wagon of Buttercup, and I hand the arrow to Connor. I was like, you should go see if he wants his back.
The Pegasus Whirlwind is kind of doing like a trotting around the whole group and
totally,
like,
can see it.
Looking at everyone with these very intelligent eyes. And until it gets to Thunderstep and then just kind of squares up with Thunderstep a bit, tosses his head proudly.
Just called Thunderstep. I said, whoa, girl, it's all right. Apparently they're friends.
Before Whirlwind trots back around to Iopix and just nudges his back.
Iopix, these are my friends. Poppy.
Hi.
Makrin.
Howdy.
Gideon. Connor.
He gives you a greeting in Elvish.
Vinduai Usa Bills. I have come to trust them as much as I trusted you that day. That day that was a week ago for me. It must have been so long for you.
5,000 years.
Azonimus is honestly speechless processing all of this. And just, are you still fighting against the Empire?
No. We destroyed them.
I want to glance over at Gideon.
We fought hard. We fought long. Everyone. The elves, the orcs, the gnolls. It took everything. But then the day came. That glorious day. We were led into battle, and Cimarron fell. Sealed away, forever. And my friends and I made guardian of the keys.
Eofix, if I could, it's an honor to meet one of the guardians. But I have some troubling news. The Empire is not gone.
Cimarron may be down, but his ideas and his followers. See the little one over there?
Oh, yeah. Look at my jacket. Isn't it nice?
Do you recognize that fur she wears?
He has to step over. He steps over to you and kneels down and...
Oh, wow.
Reaches out a hand.
Now, this jacket used to belong to, I believe she was a general 5,000 years ago. Mighty Aldonza, she was calling herself. And she was attempting to excavate what we later discovered was the Temple of Nightmare. And there were some guys inside, and we helped them seal that back
Nightmare's
up.
Nightmare's Temple?
Yeah, it's fine. It's sealed up now. But anyway, so then we were riding along. We were going to try to find, and then this Wily's got things going on, and there's this lady. Oh, my gosh, this lady. We tried to kill her three different times, but
slow
she just...
Slow down.
Poppy hasn't had a chance to talk to anybody else outside of us for a while.
What my friend is trying to tell you...
It's been about a couple hundred years since I've dealt with this many people. You must understand, I don't deal with people.
Well, a few moons ago, we took down Aldonza. 5,000 years ago, you and I took down Aldonza when we crashed that ship that she was on.
She was shamed, from what I heard.
She was carrying the banners of the Empire when she was trying to get into the Temple of Nightmare.
Then who was she trying to curry favor with?
She just kept referencing her employers. Not to mention, we recovered the wreckage of that airship just a few days from here. Found the navigation stone for it. 5,000 years later, there was someone there very powerful, very interested in retrieving that.
And it actually has led us to you.
From what I remember of the Navi crystals, they were used to pilot the ships, to get them from one place to another. That crystal has many, many secrets within it.
And
if
so
someone's looking for that, they are looking for the places where the Empire used to be. This is why Coyote has sent you to me.
So after he says that, Connor kind of stands up and he says, I had a dream the other day and someone was threatening to find the crystal, but they gave me a sound of wings. And so instead of, I kind of like pause and look between them, and instead of leading us to Wily, I led us here.
Wait, are you telling me you asked it for something different?
Yeah.
Go on.
Let me tell you what has happened to the beasts that I care about and watch over. And Whirlwind, the Pegasus, tosses its head, stamps its feet as if it's very impatient for Eofix to tell you about this. Recently, the Pegasus herd that I have watched over has been attacked. And some of them have gone missing. I found the location that they are being held, but there are warriors there who have it heavily fortified.
What kind of warriors?
Well, men who... They're led by an orc. There are a couple of manticores. They are dressed much like you, but I fear their intentions. Pegasi do not allow just anyone to ride them.
Can I give a general enough description of the general height and size and voice tone of the person that was in my dream to kind of give these details to Eofix?
Yeah, you can give them to him and he'll kind of mull it over.
That sound familiar to you?
It does not. But with the magics of some of the higher level members of the Empire. It could be anyone.
Aldonza was in the same chamber as Isabel the day we fell that ship to the ground. Do you know what happened to her, to Isabel?
No.
Because if we just saw Aldonza a few days ago, if she's trying to restore her father's empire...
As far as we knew, Isabel died.
As far as you knew, didn't Aldonza die? I thought everyone on that ship died.
Aldonza, we heard, was disgraced. Cimarron banished her because of what happened to Isabel. While we were the ones who destroyed the ship,
Aldonza
was blamed for Isabel's fate.
Eopix, I gotta ask, how are you still alive?
A skyship, a Navi crystal, and now Iopix of the Key Guardians? Oh man, I do not know how he is still alive, but I know the reason why Red Dirt D&D is still alive and rolling into episode 50 soon is because of you guys. Thank you so much to our Patreons, including Tim and Kimberly C and David A and Sheila G and others who have given a lot of bit and a little bit of their support to help us keep on rolling. Also, I want to thank you guys who have written a review. We love to know what you think, and it helps other people find us. And so, thank you to Screamstream, who just recently said, super fun storyline, filled with interesting characters, and I love that the episodes are on the shorter side. And Harry S., who said, this D&D 5e podcast, filled with fascinating characters, explores a Wild West fantasy frontier, has an amazing DM and talented players, and the creative use of radio play, sound effects, and editing puts this above and beyond what you've listened to before. It's fantastic and fun. Thank you guys so much, Screamstream and Harry, for that great review. You, yourself, yes, you, the person listening right now, you can like, subscribe, and share the link to Red Dirt D&D and your favorite podcast with everyone in your world, and it helps us so much. Couple quick last things. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the behind the scenes roundtables yet, of course, the first 15 minutes are now out free for everybody, but being a Patreon is a way to get the rest of that. It's fantastic. And coming up are some new shows for Red Dirt D&D on Twitch. And then they switch over to YouTube at Red Dirt D&D. I don't know what the rule is, a week later, something like that. But if you haven't caught A and M Talk D&D, that's Ash and Michael Talk D&D, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on twitch.tv/reddirtdnd. Go check that out. They are great. The last chapter they were talking about out of Ravenloft was the domains, and it was so great. Just so much fun. Also, coming up is the new show, Plausible Deniability, with the Johnny Payne, and a special guest each time they air. It airs every other week, and the next episode is June 17th, if you're listening in real time. And 2 days later, on June 19th, is Tatiana's Midsummer Tourney, where Sithari, Illisard, Isa, and Alvaro, kind of our holiday special characters, are tasked by the mysterious physician to go into the Feywild. That's going to be tons of fun. Kiri and Ash switch places behind the DM screen. So become a Patreon member at any level and get that behind the scenes roundtable swag. There's other things, of course, at different levels you can join. Check it all out at patreon.com/reddirtdnd. Remember our Twitch streams, twitch.tv/reddirtdnd, June 17th and June 19th. And then keep listening for the schedule as that keeps rolling on out. Thank you to all of our Patreons. Thank you to everyone who's given us a review, a rating, like, and subscribe. Please keep this train going. Episode 50 is coming. Oh yeah, but first, how is Eopix still alive?
You have reunited with a legendary figure from the Kalban. And Gideon, you have asked,
how are you still alive?
Eopix brings his hand to his chest about the level of his heart, and you see a glow. And poofing into view is a feather, golden in color. He holds it out and holds it up. The golden feather, the key to the element of air. He brings it back and
a gift to
conceals
you.
It again.
A gift to you and all the key guardians.
At the defeat of Cimarron, the four guardians were given the four keys. Myself, Strom, the frost giant, Isle, the red dragonborn, and Grandmother Orbel, the orc druid. We were all entrusted with these keys to keep them safe throughout the ages, and the gods blessed us.
And so they're still around as well?
To my knowledge. I prefer to wander alone. You must understand, Gideon, it is difficult. When you are immortal, you watch the world around you change. You watch people come and go. So I do not remain around others for long.
It's got to be difficult to watch friends and family grow old and die. But do you keep in contact in any way with them?
I have not seen the others in many years. We usually only meet up once a century or so.
Do you have a way of contacting them?
No, but I know where they are.
Right. I'm sure they, like yourself, have probably kept to themselves.
The others are different. Orbel, she likes to stay around different orc tribes. Strom does not stray far from the Lake of Tears. And Isle, I believe she remains close to the remnants of Cimarron's palace.
Where's that from here?
The other side of the Kalban Desert.
First off, let's take care of your problem. If the Pegasi are in danger, then I can think of nothing more noble than for us to help you help them.
And hopefully whoever is looking at this crystal is among them.
Right.
So we can get them off our backs.
The Apex will jump back up onto Whirlwind's back and will lead on. It does take another half a day's worth of travel, but as night begins to fall, you come to the corral. On a ledge overlooking the scene before you, you have a very large corral that has been built up. The sides of it are this kind of crisscrossed, latticed work of rough-cut timber, and over the top of it is a net.
Like an aviary.
Yes, more like an aviary than a horse corral. But you do see, again, it's at a great distance, but you can see movement within the corral of these Pegasi that have been captured. Kind of lazing about nearby outside of the corral, you do see the two manticores the Iopix had mentioned that seem to be acting somewhat as guard dogs. Off to the northeast side of the corral, you do see there's a tent, or a couple of tents, and a campfire that has been set up.
Okay, so we're all kind of hidden back in
yeah, the Iopix has made sure that you guys are well hidden back here so that you can kind of observe quietly.
I say, Poppy,
does this seem familiar to anybody else? So do we want to do a coyote this time? I can do a mouse.
Okay, except for Macker and I will stay here.
We're gonna do it right
wisdom,
this time.
We learn it.
We're gonna start calling this maneuver the, you know, like you see the
it's
movies where
it's
like, remember in Colorado when we did the Benji thing, and then they take off and everybody knows what they're doing. You know?
So, but this time we like have Budapest. We do have something else.
You and I
that we did not
Budapest
have last time.
That magnificent dark elf.
We
me
have, no
me.
We have we have invisibility because you. Yeah, you were there. You got turned invisible. Mm-hmm. You didn't see that.
I was
but
sleeping.
I did get a glimpse of it before I went down as well. And I turn over to the Iopix and I say, what do you need?
Well, most certainly we need freedom.
Right.
What do you know about the corral itself? Is the net magical?
The net I do not think is any sort of magic. I know it's weighted so that it cannot be easily removed.
So theoretically, let's say a very sneaky, very sharp-toothed rat gets in there and chews through the rope for half, you know, a handful of those weights. Could the Pegasus just fly free?
You would likely be gnawing for hours.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm just saying, theoretically, look, there's some way to get to cut the net open. Could the Pegasus just get out? Can the net be cut?
As long as they are not tied down anymore within the corral.
Sure.
The other idea I thought was we have a rogue who could go down there and pick the corral's lock and get them out. Mm-hmm. And maybe one other idea is so that our kobold friend and our rogue can get down there and pick the lock, we cause a distraction with the manticores.
Do Do you need a
large red glowing distraction?
An elemental, maybe a couple of mythics. I can
I don't think we should start with that.
Polar bear, I could. Pete's not doing anything today.
But maybe we could get them away from the corral, and then we pull out the big guns.
Now that you've seen a Pegasus, can you turn into one?
And no.
They go, oh, look, they are, a Pegasus.
We they're magic.
Yeah.
Not beasts.
If Pegasus is not in my book, I can only turn into things in my book. I can turn into a horse.
What do you think of this plan where we cause a distraction, but you guys sneak invisible down there and pick that lock?
The three of us go in. You and I snuck through worse.
Well, I think having the optics on our over here would be better.
With the distraction?
Yes.
With his snapping ability.
Because he's also got a Pegasus.
Yeah.
That's good.
And what's the Pegasus?
Tosses her head.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the distraction that Pegasus.
But right now, you two can turn invisible and get down there.
Yeah.
Right.
And we can cause the distraction.
You and me
over
once
here.
Again, Zonimus.
I'll get in the bag.
Tell you what, if this is a plan that works for us, we will give you 15 minutes to hide yourself around, and then we'll start causing a distraction over here. This might be quite a battle. We've got some new tricks up our sleeves.
I'm ready.
Macron?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Poppy?
Whatever you need.
Connor, do you want to go with Zonimus, or do you want to hide up here and do some sniping as well?
I'll go with Zonimus.
Gotcha. The optics, what do you think of this plan?
I believe with your help it will succeed.
All right, let's do this thing. Zonimus, you got 15 minutes.
You know, Gideon, I don't know if this would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the optics will there, well, grasp your off. Hand tightly.
How many folks can you make invisible?
So I can definitely get me and
Zonimus
without...
I can be practically invisible by being a mouse.
Only one fourth spell slot.
Okay,
no, keep that fourth slot. You
yeah,
won't
yeah. definitely keep it.
Yeah, remember the temple? That...
Temple of Nightmare?
I already know what you guys did tonight. You can talk about it.
Yeah, we've hit nothing for Connor now. We have shoved that in his face so many times.
And that very nice kobold that we definitely did not kill just handed things over to us?
I don't believe that.
We even give him some things back.
Yeah, but I have two things of alchemist fire. Mm-hmm. We could set the mana cores on fire. That would be very distracting.
Would let them come to us, and then that's a great idea if we want to do that.
Alchemists could even fireball them from the sky.
But I want them away. I don't want to hit them from there. I want them...
How are we going to lure them over here, then?
I think we're just going to yell out, and maybe...
Hey, look over here.
Hey!
Start a bonfire. Start camping out.
So, Connor and Zani, do you go invisible?
Yes.
All right. So as long as I don't cast a spell or attack
somebody,
we're good to go. All right.
So it lasts for an hour. So in the 15 minutes, being very carefully stealthing up to there.
Okay.
But like, I would say we should use those 15 minutes. Just to be extra careful.
No, exactly. Sure. That's why I was giving you that plenty of time.
Give me stealth checks at advantage.
I'm sure at some point, too, Iopix would have been like drawing in the sand with a stick. Here's where this gate is.
Yeah, if I say, like, you have the little doodles.
Who at advantage?
Stealth
at advantage.
Yeah, 20.
Proud of you.
Yeah. I'm gone.
I should have cast Pestle.
Modified 25.
That's awesome.
What'd you get, Zani?
18.
Okay. Not bad.
That's terrible. Six on the die.
Eopix jumps up onto Whirlwind's back, looks down at you, and says, "On my mark, if you please, Mr. Gideon."
What? Yep. What are we doing?
Your signal.
Whirlwind flips out the wings, gives a little shimmy shake, goes into a trot, and the wings start to flap. The pair of them begin their ascent as Eopix summons forth the bow. As Whirlwind gets height, and gets going up, you do see the two manticores begin to stir. You know, obviously he's making a bit of a scene of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ready in action?
Yes, you may.
I'd like to ready in action for as soon as he fires a bow. And before that happens, can I cast magic weapon on my gun?
Yes.
Okay, and then I'm readying my action to fire as soon as he does. At the exact same moment, whilst on Thunderstep.
Okay.
So my ready to action. At the cue, I'm gonna cast Call Lightning and make a big thunderstorm, and Wildfire and I will charge as well.
Okay, Makron?
Mokrin's ready action is going to be to reach out and give the stone aegis to Gideon, which 3 points of protection, 3 points of protection from damage.
Is that math the same since we leveled up to 7?
Oh, no, it probably is different.
All right, the Opix basically goes to make a big show of himself, and we've got two of you who are kind of close to the edge of the corral. The two manticore begin to stir and get up and sniff the air as this quite obvious thunderstorm is beginning to roll in.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing.
Thunderstorm is beginning to roll in. You've got Whirlwind and the Opix riding high, riding proud.
I'm making them look real good. They're definitely painted on the side of a van somewhere.
Yeah. The two of you notice. It's almost strange that you hadn't noticed it before. Two large look to be kind of like rocks. You hear a figure speak.
It's about time that Pegasus Rider showed up.
And throwing off these cloth that had been concealing two large bestiae, a net fires out. Whipping around, whirling around, catching Eopix and Whirlwind at the same time in this large net. The weights at the end swirling around, clacking together, causing the pair to plummet.
Red Dirt D&D, Tales from the Caliban Frontier, is Ash King as our Dungeon Master, Brooke Bullock as Macron Stonechaper, Johnny Payne as Zonimus Dinar, Kiri Hester as Poppy Tealeaf, Connor Chenold as Connor the Kobold, and I'm Michael Cross as Gideon Block. Our theme music was created by the cinemagician PJ Castillo. Our incidental music comes from Jeffrey McBride. Our sound effects and additional music courtesy of TabletopAudio.com and Monument Studios. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and at RedDirtDnD.com. We here at Red Dirt D&D could really use your help in getting the word out about us. If you like what you've heard, make sure and subscribe, rate us, and leave a comment. Also, tell your friends about Red Dirt D&D. You can also support the show at patreon.com/RedDirtDnD. We have several giving levels to help us grow up big and strong. Join us next time as we go deeper into the Caliban Frontier.
We killed that woman 3 times.
It only, listen, third time is done.
Hey, not, and 2 fire elementals, technically. Right. Yeah. Do you know how many experience points that is?
Enough to level up.
Enough to level up.
What's an experience point?
Go get Wiley. Take him in. That's what our job was in the first place. Take him in or take him down.
Wiley came in a long time ago. I think it'd be a great 50th episode thing to do. Hey, Alpix, these are my friends. Poppy.
Ha.
Brooke. No.
Usually it's Carrie that happens too.
I have to do the same thing every time. I have to think character name, not real name.
The number of times I've started to type something, a character name into the phone and it hasn't come up.
Cimarron may be down, but his ideas and his followers... See the little one? Where am I going with this accent?
I don't know. You're having a hard time because you're next to this beautiful elf of a man.
I know. He still remembered me after 5,000 years. I mean, that's kind of stroke the ego. All right. She was carrying the banners of the Empire when she was trying to get into the Temple of Nightmare.
Then who was she trying to curry favor with?
She just kept referencing her employers.
On a side note, real quick, didn't you tell him on the ship that you'd taken him down? You told him about Aldonza on the ship.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, you could.
He tried to see if Aldonza
recognized
him.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, right before they jumped, he said, "You know that Aldonza, we already killed her in the future."
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to be deleting all of this. So what I'm saying is, Yopix already knows that Zonimus has already told him that, according to our according to canon. Do you say
true, but it's also been 5,000 years.
True.
Yeah.
Well, so what's really going to bake your noodles? I'm about to ask Yopix what happened to me after we jumped off the ship and landed on the Pegasus and flew away, because me ended up on a pillar talking to a god.
Yeah.
Right.
Did the dude on the Pegasus just limp?
Nope. He came back into his brain. They had a beautiful life together. They raised some children.
No, they didn't.
They got married.
I'm not going to ask that question. Anyway, so
don't you take Yopix for me.
Isle. I believe she remains close to the remnants of Cimarron's palace.
Where's that from here?
The other side of the Kalban Desert.
Can you spell that for me?
Which one?
Isle.
E-Z-T-L-I.
Yeah, that's not one.
Not anywhere close. All right. E-Z-T-L-Y. And Orbul, I'm guessing, is O-R-B-L-E?
O-R-B-U-L. Orbul.
We were close.
What about Strom while we're just spelling stuff?
S-T-R-A-U-L.
Oh, completely off.
And then Eopix one more time for the fans.
I-A-P-Y-X.
I didn't get a single one of those. I have lost Rutoya's Scrabble.
It's just, we got an X, so that's like...
Yeah.
You got an X and Z.
And hopefully whoever is looking at this crystal is among them.
Right.
So we can get them off our backs.
Two birds, one stone.
One crystal.
Yeah. Two pegasi, one crystal. So where do we go from here? Yopix, you have my sword.
And he has multiple, so...
And my Glock.
And you have me.
At hello. As then do I.
I have an idea.
Eopix probably has.
I would love to hear an idea.
We'll fly down on a Pegasus.
Listen, we're not very good at making up plans. I'm going to be real honest.
The tower.
We're good at making them up. We're not good at following them.
I could turn into an elk. And then they would be like, what's an elk doing here?
What
the elk? That looks delicious. Let's go over there and eat it.
The whale. The whale in the desert.
I can't turn anybody into a whale yet, because that's level 8. I have to wait until one of us hits level 8.
Cranium rat it is.
A whale in a potted plant?
Exactly.
That's a reference I don't get, but it's okay.
The weights at the end swirling around, clacking together, causing the pair to plummet.
How am I going to come out with a sound for that?
Oh. No, here we go.
If that ends in a Wilhelm scream...